The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, welcome back to a brand new My Mate Bought a Toaster. My name's Tom Price, and my mate is Samantha Baines. Have you bought a toaster recently at all?
Not recently. No. What? Oh, I have a toaster, if that's what you're asking.
Okay, yeah, I'm just checking. You got a two slicer, or you got a two or a four?
Two.
Carl Donnelly, brilliant comedian, joins us this week. Have you got a two-er or a four-er?
I've got a four-er.
Whoa.
I think in all the times I've lived in with my toaster, I've only ever used all four at once. Once.
I only remember
one time that I've actually had four on the go.
What was the event? Some sort of crumpet party? Or
yeah, it was a... Once I cooked breakfast for friends that stayed and it just happened to be with... Bought a lovely loaf of sourdough.
Just thought,
right, let's see what this puppy can do.
Did you have to cut it yourself? Because that can get stuck in the toaster.
I did have to cut it myself. But I have had the toaster for a number of years, so I've worked out the width you're allowed to use.
Ideal.
It's like sort of having a car and finally deciding to use that sixth gear, or, you know what I mean, or pushing it to its speed limit. It's a wonderful moment for the toaster. It was born to do that.
Well, do you know what it was? I felt like it deserved that chance. Yeah.
Do you think it's a big dick energy thing?
Using all the toaster
or
slices?
Or just buying one with loads of slice holes and never using it?
Totally.
Do you have a favourite sort of, do you tend to veer towards one side of the toaster when you've got four? Because I always go to right two. Over the left two.
Right two every time. That's weird, isn't
it? It is weird.
I leave the... So the far left, very clean. I'm sure there's a political analogy we can make it. The far right, filthy.
Yeah.
Isn't that strange? I always use the two right ones.
Same here. I swear, psychology.
We've never actually stopped to have proper toaster chat on this podcast. It's like episode 6000, we've never done that. That's what we need to do more of. All right, listen, Carl Donnelly, you have very kindly given us access to your Amazon account, and I'm diving in straight away.
I'm dreading this, by the way. I told you, because I love this idea, but I thought I'm not going to cheat and look back and try and predict. Mm-hmm. So what I've done, I know what I've ordered in the last few months, you know, pretty much. I've ordered some weird things then, so I can't even imagine what I've ordered in the past.
I can't. That's a great trailer for the end of the episode. We're going to get to some weird shit that's happened recently. But now we go back into the mists of time. 2010. Yeah.
Wow.
That's when it started for you. That's when your Amazon journey began and pre-ordered on the 1st of January. You woke up a whole new year, a whole new decade, Carl.
Oh, God.
Dreamgirls, music from the motion picture.
Hello.
That is... Really? Did I really order that?
Yes.
What capacity?
No, you ordered it as a... it doesn't say. I would assume a CD in 2010.
Oh, my word.
An Amazon Digital UK Limited, so maybe it's in the cloud.
So I downloaded the audio of the Dreamgirls soundtrack.
£3.98 you spent on that.
This is unbelievable. I imagine what's happened there is I've watched the Dreamgirls film.
Someone's had a big New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone big. You know, sort of, I did Jules Hootenanny and then watched Dreamgirls to see in the new decade.
Jules Hootenanny has, I've been crushed by that because a friend of mine was lucky enough to be invited on it once. And it's recorded in about October.
Yeah, I told my wife, I broke that news to my wife recently. She loves Jules Holland.
Yeah.
And she's from Australia and just innocent and you know, pure. And I explained that it's not live. And she was devastated.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a fraud. But why did you buy the Dreamgirls?
I don't like musicals as such. Mm. I don't like very musically musicals. You know them, you know, ones where it's sort of Les Mis type when everyone's just singing all the time. Mm. So I've always been like, I've always assumed I hate musicals. And then I remember watching the film Dreamgirls and really enjoying it and thinking, oh, maybe there's a type of musical for me. Maybe it's because the musical, so it was like some of the music I like, sort of Motown stuff.
Yeah.
And I reckon I just thought, I'm starting this decade with getting over my hatred of musicals.
People do have a revulsion to it, don't they? It's strange, because I've always been just, well, having just said, people always have a revulsion to it. I've always been completely indifferent. And yet I'll go and see a musical and just be weeping within 10 minutes. I know you're a big fan, Sam, aren't you? You love a musical.
I love a musical.
Have you seen the stage show of Dreamgirls?
No.
It's brilliant. Like, it's so good. But I love that. But at the same time, I got taken, my mother-in-law took me and my wife to see Come From Away, which is currently the big...
The best thing I've ever seen with my eyes.
And I hated it so much.
Okay, cool.
That literally, at the end of the first number, my wife could... I don't know what vibe I was giving off. She turned to me and said, are you okay?
Are you joking?
I absolutely abhored it.
Carl Donnelly.
I know it's horrible because it got the biggest standing ovation I've ever seen. Anything.
Did you sit down?
Absolutely. I was.
No.
I almost tried to lie on the floor as a protest. I genuinely thought it was terrible.
Like, what are you talking about? It's amazing.
But the reason I know it's not, I know this is me, but it's such a traditional musical that it's everything I don't like about musicals. It's okay. The having like, hey, it's having a little conversation, then turning to the audience and putting your front foot out and stamping as you start the song. Yeah. All that sort of old musical tropes.
To be fair, stamping is a theme in Come From Away because it's the type of music. It's like an Irish stampy music.
Yeah, and even that annoyed me. The sort of the bad Cayley music and like, I found it as an affront to my ancestors.
Actually, while we've dropped onto that one, this is a good thing I want to follow. I fucking hate Cayleys.
We had Cayley at my wedding.
Did you? And look what happened there.
And now I'm getting divorced. But everyone at the wedding had a lovely time.
Yeah.
And they danced.
That wasn't the cause of the...
If only during the Cayley, grab your partner by the hand, stay with them for the rest of your life. Then you'd be...
Then we'd still be together.
Right.
I know if you like musicals or love musicals, you'll love it. But if you're like me and you don't like musicals, I genuinely think it will be the worst couple of hours of your life.
Fine. Wow. So you don't like musicals, but you do like Dreamgirls music from the motion picture.
Yes. Fine. Because it's what I like about Dreamgirls, it's not as traditional a musical as something like Come From Away.
You even fucking pre-ordered it, mate. It wasn't even out then.
Strike while the iron is hot.
Okay. Let's move on. Let's go to June 2010. This is interesting. Carl Donnelly, maybe this is preparing for an Edinburgh show or something. Maybe you've just got a passion for little astrophysics. Quantum Physics, A Beginner's Guide. Wizard, Life and Times of Nikola Tesla.
Oh, God.
And Why Does E Equals MC Squared?
Oh, that was a lovely little run of science for beginners books.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon, I go through phases where I get obsessed with one particular topic and I just go for it and read like 5 or 10 books and then ultimately get bored and move on to my next topic.
Why does E equals MC Squared?
I can't. Remember. I think that's the one written by Brian Cox and his friend.
Jeff.
It's not. I didn't love that book actually. It's
really?
Do you know them sort of pop science books? Sometimes you read one, it's like, oh, this is fun, and it's a good way if you're not a scientist to sort of get a rough understanding of something. Some of them I find a little bit too much. Like, hey, science is cool,
right.
And that was one of them.
Kids, because of that. Hey, kids. Hey, funky dudes.
Sort of science, great.
They're grabbing the supply teacher grabbing a chair and sitting on it the wrong way around.
And saying, call me John.
I'm in love with Brian Cox. I did my first Edinburgh show about him and did science you? And
really?
The universe. But I do find his books very difficult to read.
Yeah.
They're just not because compelling.
They're, it's hard to penetrate the language because it's just so...
Well, not really. I don't know. I'm just bored.
Oh, wow.
But when I look at him talk, I'm never bored.
We watched... he's got a new thing on... I think it's on the BBC iPlayer called The Planets.
Yeah.
And my son watched it, and it's Brian Cox standing on a beach. And my son was really getting into it, and I was like, this is fantastic. He's 7 years old, and he's starting to get into the cosmos and stuff. And Brian Cox, very calmly, with that voice, explained how one day the Earth is going to explode.
Oh,
and the sun will get so big that we'll all have to live on one of Jupiter's moons. And my son... It's fucking weeping.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because Daddy, I don't want to die.
Shit.
Oh. Shit! Yeah, it was very live parenting. From the starts of Brian Cox in that kind of, you know, everything Brian Cox says, you can imagine just off camera, you've got a quick...
Yeah.
one day, this planet... It was quite alarming as a parent.
He has a lot of enthusiasm, though, when he talks about the solar system.
I think he's wonderful, but...
expanding and crunching.
But we're not loving his books. Interesting. Do you want to have a look at the reviews for that one? Or
why does E equals MC squared?
Yeah.
No, I will. Oh. That's my role on the podcast. 64% 5-star.
Okay.
Inspirational. An enjoyable read, so I should have an there.
Okay.
Enjoyable read, but perhaps a little complex for those with zero scientific background, so maybe that's just me.
Maybe that's why I didn't really go for it. Okay. I just found it a bit boring. I'd have given it 3 stars.
I love this reviewer. Like many people, I suspect, I dived into Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time with gusto, only to find myself completely lost after the initial chapters and had so compellingly grabbed my attention, lulling me into a false sense of security as the complexity of the science and theories ramped up, this is all one sentence, ramped up to a level far beyond the comprehension of mere mortals such as I.
Mm. It still makes me want to take it on. Do you ever get that thing with books that you're told are difficult? You think, yeah, but I've got a... I've got quite the brain.
Yes, totally.
And then you start and you're like, no, I don't.
Loads. I've got, I wouldn't even know what the number on my bookshelves that like, yeah. I've bought with the overconfidence of somebody who hasn't even got a degree. And I started, and within about 10 pages, I'm like, I've done it again.
But that's the autodidact thing, because there's a new book out about David Bowie's books by a man called John O'Connell, and it's fantastic. Hundreds of books that David Bowie loved and influenced him. And David Bowie didn't have a degree, and he just read, was obsessed with it. Had a mobile library that he used to take with him. Yeah. And I always think, wow, that's really impressive. And the thing that impresses me most is getting to the fucking end of the fucking book with these things, because I just tune out. I don't know the concentration. That's, rather than the intelligence.
It's almost a muscle, isn't it? I go through phases where if I fall out of practice, almost, of finishing books, then I do, my attention span to finish a book gets worse.
Definitely.
And actually, what I've got to do is just have a couple where I just go, I don't care how much I'm not enjoying this or enjoying it, I'm just going to get to the end. Yeah. And once you do it a couple of times, you just get the habit again of just... Yeah.
The masochism of a long read. I'll never forget reading Anna Karenina, the summer of 1998, which I had to read for my degree, right? And it's fucking massive, and I hated it, and I was miserable, and I was like, you know when you're just constantly yawning, your jaw's cracking? And I finished it, and I loved it in the end. Absolutely loved it. I think there is a sadomasochism in reading.
Yes.
I'm going to put that out there.
I always finish.
Yeah. Who's got to finish the job?
Are you a quick reader?
Yeah. I find it very difficult.
Do you skim read?
No. Okay. I find it very difficult to read non-fiction books.
I'm the opposite. I actually much prefer non-fiction to fiction.
Well, it's interesting because in September 2010, Heart of Darkness, Joseph Conrad, The Picture of Dorian Gray, Oscar Wilde, The Adventures of Sherlock Holmes, you do realise those are all fictional books, don't you?
I mean, I go through phases. I'm saying, but if you went and did a pie chart of fiction to non-fiction in all the books I've ordered.
It's mostly fiction.
I'd say heavily, like 80%.
Also weird that you didn't then love Come From Away, because you know, again, that's non-fiction, right? So
it is non-fiction, and I love the story it's based on. I just think it's such a terrible vehicle to tell that story.
Unbelievable.
I would rather have been told that on a bench by somebody who was shit-faced than be told by a bunch of singing Newfoundlanders. Bom, bom, mommy.
All right, lovely. Let's move on then into the depths of 2011. A lot of books. My Stroke of Insight. Is that a book about someone who's had a stroke?
That's a brilliant book, that is.
What is it?
It's about a neuroscientist who had a stroke, and it took her a couple of years to recover. It's quite a serious stroke.
Yeah.
And she then wrote a book about her experiences of the stroke, but from somebody who actually understood what was happening to their brain at the time.
Wow.
It's really good. I actually recommended it to a friend of mine who had a stroke relatively recently, and they really enjoyed it.
Is that the comedian Marcus Birdman?
No, Birdman did have a stroke. It was actually comedian Trevor Crook who also had a stroke.
Did Trevor Crook have a stroke?
He had a stroke last year.
Shit.
Pretty minor stroke, you know. He's fully recovered now.
Yep.
He's still, but he's a hypochondriac, so he's constantly paranoid he's going to have another stroke every second.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, but he's great. He's actually, I think he's in better health now than he was before it.
It can be, what's the phrase, a shot across the bows? Shot across the bows? When people get a warning from their body like that? So my friend Mark had one at 52, but he'd smoked, to be fair, about 80 cigarettes a day for 30 or 40 years, literally for about 40 years.
Yeah.
And he's now one of the one of the healthiest guys I know, and he's survived and he's fine. So it can...
I think if you're somebody who's quite unhealthy, it's good to have a little kick up the rear.
Mark lives in Stoke Newington, and we now call him Stroke Newington. So it's sort of worth it for that. Well, you know what I mean?
Well,
classic.
I think it'd be nice if someone had a little warning, as in like they puked one time. Oh yeah,
I think a gentle warning is better than almost dying.
Well, that book has 79% 5-star reviews. Lots of people making brain and stroke puns in the reviews.
Grow up.
A stroke of genius.
Oh God.
Oh, come on.
Be open-minded to get the best understanding.
It's a terror. It's not even a pun. It's just bad.
Well, mind
association. I get it. I see.
I just thought I'd explain it. No. That makes it.
It's very
makes
good.
Makes a
though.
Pun better.
It's also, if you're into she definitely gets a little bit spiritual once she starts talking about what it was like when she was fully inside herself and like almost in a coma.
Yeah.
And I really like that. I love a bit of sort of when people start talking about like things like near-death experiences.
Yes, I remember watching a documentary at school about near-death experiences, and I was so fascinated by it, about people coming back from it and seeing the light and all that sort of stuff. That's a proper YouTube hole to fall in.
Yeah, it is actually.
It's just waiting for you. Talking of spiritual things, so you are a bit spiritual then, Carl Donnelly, because we've got our DMT, the spirit molecule, a doctor's revolution research into the biology of near-death and mystical experiences. There you go.
I did not. Yeah, that was not set up. That was just
a genuine link.
I read that after I had experienced DMT.
What?
DMT is for anyone, and this isn't a endorsement or recommendation, but it's the most hallucinogenic substance on earth.
Oh.
And I was privy to an experience on it when I was in my, that would have been, was that 2011?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it would have, I was in my sort of start of my 30s, and just going through some weird life stuff. And a friend of mine who's a full-on hippie lunatic, gave me a go on that.
Well, how do you imbibe this DMT?
Smoked. Right. It can be done different ways. It can be done intravenously. When they do tests, they're currently doing trials on people in London on it, because I think they've sort of got funding for testing again.
Yeah.
And it's become legal to you do these sort of trials. But
is it a type of LSD?
It is a hallucinogen, but it's a very different type of hallucinogen. It's one that is naturally occurring in the brain. And this is so that book is about the theory that it's what causes near-death experiences.
Oh.
Because because your brain just has it in it. And one of the theories is it's almost like an inbuilt system in your brain that death is so terrifying that you go into like panic mode when you're dying.
Yeah.
That your brain just floods it with, it just gives it a little bit of DMT. And
you start tripping.
It basically trips you through death and makes it more manageable. That's one of the theories. So that book's all about that. They did some tests on it in America and tried to work out why it is that everyone who, what they did the tests on, had a very similar experience, even though they're all individuals.
That's awesome.
It's a really interesting book. And it's not, you know, you're not going to read it and suddenly go, right, I'm going to go off and become a psychonaut. I went through a phase of reading a lot of stuff about that, which inspired by the thing I had experienced.
And was the DMT the experience you had, was it a very vivid kind of, has it stayed with you?
Yeah, definitely. I think it didn't turn me into a, absolute raging hippie, but it definitely just made me sort of relax a bit about certain things.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, it's so insane what happens. I genuinely felt when I'd passed out for 10 minutes, but it felt like I'd been gone genuinely for at least 6 months.
Wow.
When I came to, I genuinely was confused that I was in the same room at the same time. Like, I thought I had a beard and stuff. Like, I was so confused as to why. Like, it was still that night.
It's like a sort of mental control alt delete, isn't it? Yeah. Just shut yourself down.
Yeah. And it's totally illegal, and it's not something you'd ever recommend to anyone.
We're not condoning it.
I know some people that have done it, and then they suddenly become like, mate, you should try it. It's great. I wouldn't. It's properly intense and scary, and some people I know have had stuff out of it positive. I know some people that really shook up. I know, I know a couple of comedians that tried it and were like, I will never go near that again, because it made them question their entire sort of thoughts on the world.
What I love is that you bought these things just before Christmas. Yeah. These are weird present. Yeah. Dad, listen.
Treat myself.
Yeah, present for yourself.
Oh, that's not for my dad is the most boring old man alive.
Oh,
like,
really?
He hates anything. The only thing I can ever buy him at Christmas is, I've bought him pairs of shoes in the past, shirt, aftershave. That's it. Out of the blue, thought, I'm done with, why not buy him something nice? Yeah. And I just bought him a Dean Martin CD, and he looked at it like I'd just bought him, you know, a dead cat or something. He was so confused as to why it wasn't one of the three things I get him.
Like, where's my shoes? Yeah. I was looking forward to that.
Yeah, I've got no shoes for the next year now. It's my annual supply gone. All right, Sam, unless you can see anything, should we dive on in? Should we keep going?
Well, there is transcending the levels of consciousness, which
So you're not a far out wacky hippie, but investigating.
I like reading about it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So,
and can a robot be human?
What's that? Is that a book?
Yeah.
I don't even remember reading that.
Wow. Well, that was written before Alexa was invented. So the answer now is emphatically yes.
Oh God, I'm so, see, I'm not. I'm scared of Alexa and all that stuff. I've got Siri turned off on my phone because I don't want it listening to me.
They are listening. Everyone's got stories, haven't they? Now about where you talk about some buying a wardrobe, and the next day there's a cookie on your computer.
I mean, they're still listening.
They are totally listening, but just for my own sense of well-being, I've turned it off. Just
but you're a performer. Surely, any audience is an audience. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know, but I'm a reluctant performer.
You know, you can go back into your Alexa history and you can listen to yourself shouting.
No.
Yeah. I could do it for you. I can show it to you now. Do you want me to do it?
Yes.
Okay, oh, it'll take me 30 seconds.
So hang on. It will play back your requests.
Yeah.
Oh, that's enforced my never getting one.
Can Alexa laugh? If you tell her a joke, will she laugh? I'm just thinking about this audience thing.
I mean, yeah, exactly, you see?
But hang exactly. On. That'd be rough when... If she doesn't laugh at something, you're like, oh,
we
God.
Could try new I material.
Let's just have a death all right. In front of my speaker.
So do you want to have a listen to what's been going on today?
Yes, please.
All right. So this is me. This is me when I go upstairs and I'm getting dressed to come in. I think it's just before I have a shower. So hang on a sec.
Alexa, play Five Live.
That was me asking Alexa for Five Live this morning.
You sounded quite positive.
Yeah. You'll appreciate this, guys. This was because my son was singing a song this morning. So hang on a sec.
Alexa, play
Changes by David Bowie. Because I think my son attempted to do it.
You sort of do a phone voice when you speak to Alexa.
Yeah, I do. It's what Alexa.
Formal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's how I speak to my servants. I'm very well bred. And you can hear what my wife's been up to as well. It's what my wife's doing at the moment. This is where it does get quite creepy. Because my wife, at yesterday at 12:51.
Play the album A Dave Brubeck Christmas.
What's she been up to behind your back?
Christmas music.
Spending time with Christmas music in early November. So
what if you heard? What if you heard your wife say something that?
Yeah.
She didn't want you to.
I mean, but that is the question, isn't it?
Call my lover, Alexa.
Yeah. Exactly. It is quite eerie. You're right. I get it.
Maybe what if it becomes sentient and we start? Have you seen her? It might just be like that. Yeah. You end up having a relationship with Alexa.
Might be easier than. Yeah.
To be fair, you have to dump her, just switch her off.
Excuse
me.
My name's Pete Allison.
And I'm Dave Cribb, and we do a podcast called Friends with Friends.
Each week we invite a guest on, ask them to pick their favourite episode of Friends, and then we talk about it in far too much detail.
Basically, if you like the show Friends, and you like it when people take things far too seriously, then you might well like this podcast. Search Great Big Owl on your podcast app of choice, and you'll find Friends with Friends right there.
Yeah. Where we're going, we'll be showing that we listen to toes. Cause these lovely ass people gonna talk to the host.
He's gonna ask a couple questions.
What they're buying the most. Cause one man goddamn just like a piece of toast.
2012. Carl Donnelly, there's a theme on the 1st of January 2012. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yep.
Dreamgirls, the musical, pre-ordered a couple of years ago. Here you are now. Soul Man on DVD, the 1986 film. Want to take us through this one,
I just worked out what this is. That was my 30th birthday. It was in January 2012.
Okay.
And I hired a cinema, the Exhibit Cinema in Balham, which is a little cool cinema room above a pub.
Right.
And for me and my friends, we screened the 80s comedy film Soul Man, which is very problematic now.
Oh, is it one of those, is it?
Well, it's a C. Thomas Howell comedy. I loved it when I was a kid. Mm. But if you actually break the story down, their heart's in the right place, but it's not. It's very ham-fistedly done.
Right.
It's about a very rich white kid who gets accepted to Harvard Law School, but his parents decide it's a challenge to him to grow up. They won't pay his tuition fees.
Mm-hmm.
So he realises he's done. He can't do it. Then he reads about a scholarship for the most talented black student in the area.
Okay, I see. Does he black up?
He overdoses on tanning pills to darken his skin tone.
Broadcast this for your 30th birthday. What, 1950?
Wait. And then he gets his scholarship and he goes there, and his time there, he learns just basically how racist an institution it is and how everyone else. And he learns that by... He wouldn't have realised it without experiencing it from that side. So the heart of it is genuinely... A rich white guy learning just how difficult it was for black students.
When you were screening
it's really, actually, when you watch it, you're like, there are issues here.
When you were screening it, did you have to run in 20 minutes in, pause it, turn around to all your friends and family and go, wait, wait?
It's that funny thing where you rewatch a film from your youth that you loved,
yeah,
because it was so funny when I was a kid. There's so many really funny slapstick moments, mm, and like, and it is. I genuinely, when I was a kid, thought it was such a lovely film. Like, he, it's about this learning of how other people have it more difficult than you.
Yeah. I love that he overdoses on tanning pills, yes, and is mistaken for a black person.
Oh, I mean, them,
that's
tanning
ridiculous.
I won't lie. He's blacked up.
Okay. All right. So your favourite film features someone blacking up. Cool. All right. Carl Bonnelly then. Go and see him live. Feel free to heckle him.
We'll do a screening where we can discuss its issues.
It'll be called the wait screening. Okay. Elsewhere in January 2012, Carl Bonnelly continuing to buy more batshit mental books. The Book of Secrets, 112 Keys to the Mystery Within.
That is one of the worst books I've ever read.
Yes, please.
I feel like that was... there's a few books I read almost ironically. Like, I had friends who were hippies, sort of types who were into them.
Mm.
Someone like Milo McCabe, a very funny comedian friend. Mm. There was a period where he read the book The Secret, which is about that. Well, it's almost like visualization, isn't it?
I
read it out of curiosity. It's one of the biggest loads of shit I've ever read.
What is the premise of The Secret? I don't know.
The premise is basically anything in the world you want, you can have if you just believe it enough.
Right.
And it's utter nonsense. And it doesn't take into account in any sense people's situation or where they're born. Like, all the things that actually do amount to how much of the world is open access to you.
But that chimes very strongly with, obviously, with any human being, basically, but especially with comics, because a big thing of comics, us, is that we all believe in, I'm just going to keep going.
Yeah.
Just going to keep going. I might still be a bit shit, but I'm going to keep going. It's true, though, isn't it? That's a big part of being a comic.
Me and Ellis James, when we were newish, we both made a pact that if we ever have three dreadful gigs in a row, we're quitting. And it's sort of, I still stick to it. Like, it hasn't for a while, but up until just a couple of years ago, I'd get the odd text from him and him from me saying, I'm on two, mate. I think it's coming to an end.
All right, let's dive into May 2012. I feel like there might be some stories here. The 25th of May 2012, there's two items you purchased on the same day, life-changing items. You bought the Worth High Performance Dry Chain Lube and some learner plates. L plates, driver L plates. I mean, bear in mind you bought SatNav a year and a half ago.
Is this for a stag do?
No, this was... it was the best stag do I ever went on. It was for a 125cc motorbike that I had... I did my CBT learning motorbike thing.
Your cognitive behavioural therapy?
Yeah. I did CBT, really made me want to ride a motorbike. and I went and bought a little motorbike and I had to put L plates on it and a chain lube.
Why did it have dry chains?
I don't think it had dry chains. I just wanted to sort of keep it nice and lubed.
Say well done to all of us having a sort of brief lube chat here, and we've all just talked about it. Well done, guys. No one's made any lube jokes.
Well, yeah. I did say the stag do thing.
Oh, the stag do. Yeah, that's funny though. That wasn't a joke about lube. Oh, yeah.
None of us were saying it, but there was a lot of tone.
In the air. Freeze-on. Lube, of course, you can use for sex. Sorry, everyone. Sorry. So do you still have the motorbike?
I still have it, but it's currently covered up and unused for, I reckon 5 years I've not been on it. Mm. I recently, actually, this week, I put a reminder in my phone which said sell bike.
Oh, right. Okay, fine. Oh, dear. Bye-bye, bike.
Yeah.
I think that the getting onto a bike, having just done, say you've just done the Ballon Banana, right? And you get on a bike and you've smashed it, you're Knight Rider. Do you know what I mean? You're an absolute legend. Getting on your bike when you've just absolutely died on your ass.
Oh, yeah.
Not something you do, I know, Carl, but do you know what I mean? The act of getting on a bike, you can either look like a fucking superhero or a very depressed Deliveroo driver.
Yeah.
The action of getting on a bike has two very different interpretations to it.
Definitely. And also, it's sort of one of them things that I got it thinking, I bet I love riding a motorbike, and then I'll do my full test, and I'll get a big Kawasaki Ninja or something. And then I actually... It was nice. It was fine. I never loved it. And I remember once I was doing the Comedy Store and as well as Bracknell Comedy Cellar.
No, so don't bike between those two.
I was doing an early show at the Comedy Store, riding to Bracknell and riding back. And it was a cold, wet night. And on the way back to the Late Show at the Comedy Store, I came around a roundabout and almost came off the bike. Like, the back wheel just slipped and I just about corrected it. And I got back to the store, and that was like, I think that was the night I went, not for me, thank you.
It's so dangerous. My friend's mum, who was a doctor at the time, took her to the bike unit at the hospital
to show her
the injuries to make sure she'd never get on a motorbike.
Wow, that should be a public service.
Yeah, it should.
For all parents, just come around here, have a look at this.
All 16-year-olds can take around
Look left and look right. Okay, bye-bye. Please clean up your sick. All right, let's move on, shall we? We are in 2012. We're talking to the fabulous stand-up comedian Carl Donnelly, just going through his life history, his shopping listery. And what else have we got in 2012? Oh, we got the Christmas again. This is obviously for your dad. The Communist Manifesto, written by the well-known novelist Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels.
Oh, lovely.
What was your favourite bit of the Communist Manifesto?
Oh, the whole thing, to be honest. I'm a big fan. I actually bought this out of nostalgia. I had a copy when I was 15. I used to carry around with me. I was quite a militant teen.
Wow.
My family, like, a very poor, and I grew up in this sort of environment that they're Irish, and like, so I was quite a sort of activistic type. I got into like Irish nationalism and socialism at the same time in my teens. So I became
national and socialism don't go well together. Just to
well, warn you. Irish national. What I mean is Irish. sort of a United Ireland was my main cause, and then I also got into the sort of politics of socialism.
So also you got this for free. So
I also got putting it on money back Amazon. In
Amazon. Let's be honest. Into the economy.
There's a lot, but this was me looking back over it. I fancied a little sort of rehash to see what it was all about and where I was at in my youth. I think I was actually writing a show for Edinburgh, and in it I wanted to talk about what I was like in my teens.
So were you an angry teen?
Very angry teen. Yeah.
Why?
Because I think I used to vent at the world for my situation. My parents aren't particularly healthy types. There's a lot of mental health problems in my family, and the situation's, it was quite a rough environment at times. And I just think I used to sort of, I wanted to see who it was to blame. So that's why I got into all that sort of stuff.
And who is to blame, Carl?
I mean, society is to blame ultimately, but you can't really fully change society. You can only change yourself, hence me now doing DMT and meditating rather than, carrying a copy of the Communist Manifesto and wanting to murder Tories.
And buying books like Denial of Death.
That's an amazing book.
Oh, what is it going to tell us about that?
I've not read it. I remember at the time, it's about the... It's hard to describe. It's a very brilliant book about death, though, about how humans, compute their own existence and stuff.
Wow. There's a real theme to your stuff, which is you're a thinker.
Much more than my comedy would suggest, yeah.
And yet, then we get to December 2013... India, perfect places to stay, eat and explore. Are we off to India?
I travelled around India, obviously, during my finding myself period.
Not that you're a crazy hippie or anything. Not at all.
The lavender slumber spray.
That's nice, isn't it? I went through a divorce. So that was my post-divorce was India travel.
Classic. You're very young to have a divorce. But how old were you when you got divorced?
It takes a couple of years to really sort it all out. But we split up when I would have been 31, I reckon. Yeah. Right. So we'd been together for a decade.
Wow.
But we didn't get married till quite late into that decade. But then things did not work out.
Mm. Also, I'm 32 and you've never said to me, you're quite young to be getting divorced.
It just makes more sense that you've got divorced. Do you know what I mean? Having spent the time I've spent with you, I see why that's happened now.
Do you want to borrow the India book?
Wow. No, I would like to borrow the True Utility Clip Tool Carabiner Multi-Tool.
That definitely was for India. I went traveling around India. I think I might have over-prepared at times.
Did you use that?
No, of course not. It's that classic thing where once you get there, you realise you don't need anything. You can just mooch around.
Can we just zip back to January 2013? Because once again, the most batshit mental stuff you buy happens in January. I don't know what's going on. Is it because it's your birthday and you have a sort of little crisis every birthday?
I reckon, yeah. I also am somebody who I think is very... Start of the year, start of the decade.
Tell Sam's just seen it.
Oh, God.
Well, I mean, Sam, do you want to do... There's three books bought. So ignore standard edition Dead Island Game of the Year.
Oh, that was a fun computer game.
Great game. Then there's three books... I'll do the first one. How to uncover your past lives. That's one. Sam, what's the next one?
How to see and read the aura.
And then how to do psychic readings through touch.
What year is this? That's the one that made me laugh. How to do psychic readings through touch.
What year is this?
2013.
Right, this was proper, you know, we're in the midst of a divorce now. Life is not panning out how you expect it. I'm probably just back from India.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, right, what am I going to do with my life? Let's read some auras.
I like the aura one, but the psychic reading through touch.
Do you know what? I genuinely reckon these were recommended to me by somebody. I feel like, it might have been in India. I think I met somebody who claimed they could read auras, and they just said, it's really easy. You can actually just buy a book and learn it. And I just was susceptible to that at that point in time. I found the aura book recently. I was just going through my shelves to see what ones I haven't read. And I found that, and I got it out for a laugh, and I thought I might read it. And I reckon I got 3 pages in, and then you have to do an exercise. And I was like, that's enough for me.
The how to do psychic readings through touch is a picture of a woman's hand on sort of a belly button.
Oh, what would you get off the belly button?
I know.
Can we see the reviews? There's got to be good reviews of this.
Yeah, 92% 5 stars.
Really? Wow. Maybe I need to actually read it.
Yeah.
I received this on my Kindle.
Okay.
Oh, and not through touch. And although I have not had time to read all of it, I found it good value for money. I am able to do readings by touch, so this was not unfamiliar territory to me.
In fact, I read this book. In fact, you don't need to read this book. You just have to touch the front cover. And it all just goes in.
Is there any 1-star reviews that really dig it out? They're the ones that are always... No. Really?
Yeah, only 4 and 5-star reviews. Only 13 reviews.
But you do... Carl, you're kind of like... you're not repressed. You're definitely not a repressed man. You're in touch with a lot of feelings. But the idea of you just touching someone and going, I'm just going to give you a quick psychic reading. You are like the least psychic reading kind. No offence.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Especially when you've got the shaved hair. If you were to go up to a woman and said, can I just touch your belly button?
Well, I'm currently, for any listeners, I'm wearing a Run DMC sweatshirt. And I've got a beanie on. I took my beanie off actually for the headphones. But I'm not somebody who I think you would naturally ask to touch you to... read their, vibes.
I think people's beliefs are, fine. If people believe in this, go for it. But yeah. I just wasn't expecting it. That's what made me laugh
clicked
on.
It's caught me off guard as well by the fact that I genuinely... I didn't realise this was from that period of time. Now, when I found it the other day, I laughed and I was like...
So would you call this period of time a bit of a wobble, maybe?
Absolutely. I mean, there's probably going to be more, but I made so many questionable decisions at that point, just with my, how I looked, everything. That was there was definitely an eyeliner phase during then. There was loads of little, at the time I was like, I'm just finding myself, man.
Do you know what?
And looking back, I know I was on tilt.
The eyeliner makes me feel so much better because I've just had a memory. It was you at a gig I did when I decided it's really embarrassing. I can't even look at you when I say this. I decided one gig that I was going to wear a bow tie. I just thought I needed to have a thing. So I wore this bow tie and it was with you. And I remember it was at the 99 Club. And you came up to me afterwards. You're like, yeah, nice set, mate. What's with the bow tie? That was the last time I
probably
wore
said
it.
That with eyeliner and leopard print jeans on.
Fuck, I'd forgotten that. My mate's bought a 9th of June 2014, new ladies' waterproof wellies. Boots, they're festival ones.
Are they a blue polka dot?
No, they are gold and wow. Shiny. Are they for you?
They were for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
I.
You're the guy with the golden wellies. That's what you're known as when you're on stage now.
Yeah, that would have been during that period.
Terrible Bond film.
I think I might have been wearing leggings as well at some point.
I love it. Very nice.
That would have been... I was probably starting to come out of that phase late 2014, I reckon.
Yeah.
Early 2015, I was really starting to get back to the straight and narrow.
200 metal bullet stud spike punk belt bags. Yeah,
bought them to sort of redesign one of my own denim jackets. Decided to do some crafts.
And also zinc men's aggressive men's skates black.
I used to have a routine about this. I bought some rollerblades. I used to rollerblade when I was in my teens. Me and my mates used to go around on skates and be naughty. And I just out of the blue thought, I wonder what it'd be like to get on a pair now. And I'd And the routine was about how I think you should never online shop while having a number two.
Oh, yes.
Because
yes.
I think you're sort of weirdly susceptible to making bad decisions.
Because your brain's sort of, it's got other things going
on. Yeah. I feel like you make bad decisions at that point. And it was about this. I bought some rollerblades. And I had this real romantic idea of me sort of being this, you know, mid-30s guy rolling around on his skates. And then I put them on, and me and Benny Boots, comedian.
Oh, I love Benny Boots.
Benny skateboards, or used to skateboard, and we went down to our local park, and I managed to get there. I was all over the shop, and then in the park, it's a really lovely park called Roundwood. There's this big path that goes downhill, and I just lost control going down the hill, and I fell over in front of, I think it was about 50 school children. And they lost their minds. and I remember just going back to the house, taking them off and putting them in a cupboard, and they never come
that's
out
it,
again.
Yeah.
Never once again have they seen the light of day.
That's great. That's so. Please tell me you were wearing the metal studs at the time, so sparks were flying off as you went past them. What I'm loving, Carl, is the denial that's happened. This has been the podcast of denial. Because how many times you have said, now, I'm not a hippie, though, but I'm not a hippie. Yeah, my hippie friends, I'm not one. We have got the incense cone holder, the Stanford Jasmine incense cones. Stanford frankincense, obviously one of the wise men here. Tree of life design table runner, handmade wall tapestry. Mandala cotton tapestry. Picnic blanket tapestries. Carl, when will you accept yourself? You're an out-and-out hippie.
Maybe I am. I think, do you know, I genuinely think there is a denial of my true nature.
Yeah.
I think, yes. Incense, though, is that's not. I just like incense around the house. People have scented candles.
I like incense.
I prefer incense. I think it's much nicer.
You've bought beard oil. You're basically swampy.
Yeah, that was during a beard phase.
That
was a horrible face. I look back at photos of me with a beard, and it's dreadful. It's like, it was a bit too patchy to ever be. I didn't need oil for it, you know.
Well, a lot of people go for that. Beard oil aside, your order numbers really start to lift. 2015, you made 73 orders over the year.
Yeah.
Lots of standard sort of. How can I put this? Sort of the mundane Amazon purchases. We've got clip-on mics. We get that a lot. You've bought loads of wires, endless wires and plugs.
Dog-eared infinite love sterling silver infinity necklace.
What?
Dog-eared.
I think
£49.
I think it's actually quite a nice. It was a nice little necklace, I think, for then new girlfriend,
who is now my
forever wife.
So did you meet her? When did you meet her?
We actually first met in 2013, just through, we just became friends.
Right. And then, what, down the skate park?
Traveling around India. At the Adelaide Fringe. And we became friends for a couple of years and then just...
You bought her that necklace.
And then I bought her a dog-eared necklace on Amazon. And
everything
the rest is history, everybody.
September 2015, Carl Donnelly, yoga for beginners. I'm not going to mock this because I'm jealous because I need to do yoga. My body's falling apart.
This, actually, I didn't really get on with it. And I found a better option on YouTube, which is a woman called it's called Yoga with Adrienne. Her name's Adrienne Fisher.
Everyone loves her.
She's absolutely brilliant. And actually, having done that since and then done bits of yoga in actual classes, I genuinely think that she's the best.
So just stick the telly on.
Yeah, get on YouTube, Yoga with Adrienne. It's better than any sort of DVD or type of views.
Okay, great.
She's really good. And just go to the beginner ones, and it's so manageable and nice.
I'll draw the curtains because I don't want anyone to see me doing it.
We can all do yoga together.
I do need to do it because my body's all stiff and my back's starting to give up.
Yeah, it's great, especially with what age are you now?
It's 39.
It's a good because I'm 38 in January.
Well, the war starts at 39. That's the thing. Yeah, that's when the battle begins.
As you move into your 40s,
long bigger.
I can see that.
My shoulders and everything. I get tight shoulders and things. Yeah. And actually, when I do periods where I'm doing yoga regularly, they just disappear all them problems.
17th of September.
What year are we on?
2015.
15, yeah, good.
You bought 25mm satin ribbon purple double faced and 25mm satin ribbon lilac double faced.
That sounds dirty, doesn't it?
Why are we getting into ribbon?
We all go through a ribbon. He's in the beard stage. He's
ribbon,
done the yoga.
Can I have a look at it?
Yeah.
Because that just doesn't.
For a cake, maybe? Or
are you absolutely spot on? It was for a cake. I made a comedian and a very good friend of mine, Chris Martin's, wedding cakes.
Did you really?
Yeah, wow. I'm a very good baker.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that was during an old phase, a weird phase. I decided to teach myself to bake to quite a high level.
I mean, you are a hippie.
I mean, this was pre-Bake Off, this was pretty mainstream, isn't it?
Why haven't you done Celebrity Bake Off? You need to get on that shit.
I'm not a celebrity, and B, I'm vegan. I don't know if they do vegan.
Yeah, but that would give it a great. I mean, it would actually. Angle. Yeah.
Also, vegan baking feels quite hippie to me.
Yeah, really, I suppose.
Of course, but you're a big vegan, aren't you? Big. Yeah. When did the veganism begin?
That around the same time as the DMT and all the weird books.
Yeah, right.
But I learnt to bake before veganism. I spent like a year teaching myself to bake properly. Went for it, and then when I went vegan, I then re-taught myself to do it all vegan. And then so for Chris's wedding. Him and his wife Hannah, I just offered as like, instead of getting him a present, I went, I'm going to bake your cakes. I didn't push it on him. I said, if you want me to,
I'm going to bake. Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a threat.
You have to have them.
If you marry her, I will bake your cakes. No, I'm even joking. Carl, I love you so much. You are a baking, rollerblading, drug taking hippie who's got a sideline in Xbox and happens to be a brilliant stand up comic. 27th of January 2016, the Mexico flag. Why, please?
No idea. The Mexico flag.
Yeah, 5 foot by 3 foot. Massive Mexico flag.
2015 or 16? 16. What was going on in 2016 that I needed a Mexican flag?
What is it with you in January?
Yes, January again!
I genuinely can't even answer that. I have no idea why I bought a Mexican flag.
All right. Let's interrogate him now as we get towards the end of this episode with Carl. So Sam, we'll just take one each, one at a time. And Carl, quick, succinct answers, okay. Please. All right. 15th of June 2016, the Watchmaker's Eyeglass. Why?
I was having a barbecue. We were going to have a table tennis competition, and I bought an engraving kit, and I was going to use it to help me engrave a trophy for the winner.
So, how did the engraving go?
So bad. I was really drunk. It was the first time I'd ever done it.
Just as a hobby.
Yeah.
Just another sideline.
Yep.
Carl Donnelly, also an engraver. That's insane. Okay, over to you, Sam. You'll go.
I'm trying to find another incense holder. 22nd of November, Zen Garden Sand Buddha Rocks Tea Light Incense Holder.
That was a gift for comedian and friend Jimmy McGee.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But you're not hippie, though, are you?
No, not at all.
You also bought an aroma diffuser 2 months later.
That was a gift for myself.
August 2016, the Full Facts Book of Cold Reading.
Oh, that was after a chat with comedian Tom Binns, and he was doing his character who does sort of cold reading. You know, just the medium character he did. Uh-huh. I just wanted to read up and see what it's like. How do you do it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, fine. All right, good. You just lie, don't you? Just make it up. Basically. That's what it is. You just make it up.
2016 Mobro's Beard Starter Grooming Kit.
I think that might have been actually a gift for Chris Martin, comedian friend, and at the time, beard grower.
You've bought a book that I have recently read, which I loved, called The Power of Now.
Eckhart Tolle. That's your sort of ground zero of self-help.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. That's what I am. I'm nothing if not a 9/11 of self-help.
You're hitting that age now, which is the 9/11 of man years. 40. No, it's a great book, The Power of Now.
Fantastic.
It's some people I think are put off because it is, you know, he's been on like Oprah, and it's always championed by people that are a bit sort of worthy.
Yeah.
But it's actually a very good book. It's a bit of an intro to Buddhism, if you don't really realise.
Is it?
Well, a lot of the stuff that Eckhart Tolle talks about comes from Buddhism.
Okay.
So after that, I read that years ago and went off and read all the originals.
Right. Okay. Nice. Yeah. It's a good starting book. It's all about. I mean, it's very simple. The power of now.
It's about living in the present rather than stressing about the past and the future.
The past and the future are fiction. That's what I love.
Absolutely.
Read that on the first page. And I was like, oh, hi there.
Yeah.
It's
a lovely little mantra to have, like when you're getting stressed.
January.
Yes.
2017.
Here we go. Carl's favorite month.
DIY hair chalk.
Oh, yuck. What?
Temporary hair colour, pastel hair dye set, non-toxic.
I think this is not for me. I reckon this might have been for my wife.
It was delivered to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, I took delivery.
Sure. So much denial.
Hair chalk. Yeah, it could have been me to just colour my hair for something. It might be for something.
Okay. We're into 2017 now. We're racing through recent Carl Donnelly activity. What else have we got here?
Tea tree therapy birchwood toothpicks with cinnamon oil.
Is there two packs?
Yeah.
Yep, one for me, one for Jimmy McGee.
Who buys the Friend toothpicks. Happy birthday, mate.
Because they're weirdly posh toothpicks. They sort of feel like you're a bit of a. It's like a sort of something you can imagine like James Bond using. They're like they're scented toothpicks made of wood. And Jimmy's a bit of an old posh boy, so I bought them for him because they're a nice little gift.
Can you imagine just sitting in a casino with someone? Nice tooth. What are you picking with them?
Are they the cinnamon?
Do you want one? Yeah, thanks very much. All right, we're in 2018 now, Carl Donnelly, and let's just have a quick look through 2018. Quick fire route through 2018, just to give us a sort of up-to-date final vision of you.
I mean, we have to go straight to January, sure.
Yeah, of course, that's where the gold is with Carl. Yeah, we know that now.
Oh, God.
1st of January, practical candle burning, spells and rituals for every purpose.
Oh, do you know what that was? This is actually inspired by my wife. I think for her, one of her Christmas presents, I saw it in a really cool little hippie shop in Birmingham called Zen. I bought her a candle magic set, so it's to do a spell. I thought it was fun. And she did the spell on New Year's Eve, that thing. And I actually got so jealous that I bought a book to do my own.
Did it work?
Because it was cool. She was out in the garden at 2 a.m. on the 1st of January in the dark doing this crazy spell like with candles that I'd bought her.
Oh, I want to do that. This,
it looked so cool.
Okay, so are we coming into the candle phase now? Is that what we're saying,
Carl? I don't actually think I ever used that book.
Oh.
Amazing. It's a lot of stuff you have to buy. I remember reading how many candles you need to buy and what sort, and I was like, I don't think I've got it in me.
Tea lights.
Yeah.
Bunyan corrector.
Oh, lovely. There we are. There's the reality.
Classic
There's
Bunyan corrector. I don't actually think it was for me. I think my wife had a sore foot, and I suspected it was a bunion. So I bought her that, and it turns out it wasn't a bunion. So now we just got one knocking around the house.
You got three.
Yeah, did I?
Yeah, one. Lots of different types.
Oh, I think I bought. I didn't know what sort of bunion or what sort of size would fit her foot, so I bought three bunion correctors. None of which have ever been used.
It's just perfect because as you get older, you go from being the guy taking the drugs to the guy correcting his bunions. It's just so beautiful. And the final thing we're going to do, Carl, because I feel like we're up to date now, we're going to have a quick dive into the future. Okay, we've seen the past, we've seen the present.
Yes.
And let's see what's on your wish list. Things that you put on your wish list. And no, it's fine. You've got things like some dumbbells. That's absolutely fine. We've got a chimenea, nice, a barbecue lava rocks. I think I'm going to end today's podcast with the Gringo Native American Chief headdress with leather tips.
Oh no! This was for this was going to potentially be for a Edinburgh poster.
Cultural appropriation.
It was actually going to be the show was going to be maybe about cultural appropriation. So I was thinking of doing the poster as a Native American, but I would not be changing any skin colour.
No.
No overdose on tanning pills.
Yeah, I'm not a monster. I was going to wear the headdress.
Right.
And I did decide against it because I thought, you know, it might be problematic.
Also
it was quite it looks quite for its price. I remember it being cheaper than I thought it would be when I looked at it.
It's currently unavailable.
I wonder why, because it's 2019. I think that's why it's unavailable.
No, there are other ones available. Neil has given it 5 stars, said, well pleased with this product. It will go well with my other Native American collection.
Oh, Neil!
Oh, God.
Oh, please. Listen, Carl Donnelly, thank you so much for coming
on,
mate.
Really fun. Toaster.
It is fantastic. I feel like we've used all four slots of the toaster today. I really feel like we've done that. It's brilliant. Carl, so you've got your own podcast. Do you want to give us a quick plug? Tell us what you got going on.
I do one called Two Vegan Idiots with comedian Julian Dean. It's just us chatting nonsense once a week or fortnight, and it's, you know, you can dip in and out of it. You don't have to commit to it, but it's fun.
Okay, all right. Much it, like really. Your approach to being a hippie. Something you sort of
I'd like to dip my toe in now and again.
And you're on the Twitters and all that, aren't you, Carl Donnelly?
Twitter and Instagram.
Okay. Double M, double L's I discovered today when I wrote your pass for the building so you could get in. Sam Baines, you've got a book out at the moment, haven't you?
Oh my God, so nice of you to mention.
Yeah, you're welcome.
My book is called Harriet vs. the Galaxy, and it's for children 7 years plus, and it's about a little girl with a hearing aid like me who fights aliens in space like me.
We've had more great reviews on the website, by the way, for this podcast.
Have we?
So we love those. Keep them coming, because both Samantha and I, we're quite needy. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, we like compliments. We like 5-star reviews.
Validate us, please. Go on there and subscribe. We've got loads of these episodes. They're all up now. If you haven't listened to them all, they're all there and available. And we'll be back very soon with more My Mate Bought a Toaster. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. That was fucking hilarious. That was one of my favorites.
greatbigowl.com.
Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont. I do Crime Club. In Series 1, I spoke to people like this.
Did you not kick a policeman in the head?
Yeah, that was... When was that? I was 17. Wait, was I 17 or 19? I think it might have been 19, actually.
In Series 2, I talked to people like this.
There was a paedophile with one leg. I kicked him clean out his wheelchair. About four of us... we battered him.
And this.
Cheated on your boyfriend to give him gonorrhea? Do you want to go there, or would you rather not?
Yeah, no, I could talk about it.
I have jingles like this. That's Crime Club, where strange people tell stories involving bad behaviour. New episodes out every Monday.